Take your Bible and turn to 2 Samuel chapter number 8. 2 Samuel chapter number 8. Once you arrive there, find verse number 3. And I'll ask that we stand out of reverence to the Word of God. I'm going to read to you a few verses from 2 Samuel chapter 8, verse number 3. 2 Samuel chapter 8, verse 3. Everybody standing, and the Bible says this: David smote also Hadadezer, the son of Reba, king of Zobah, and he went to recover his border at the river Euphrates. And David took from him 1,000 chariots and 700 horsemen and 20,000 footmen. And David hoed all the chariot horses, but reserved of them for 100 chariots. And when the Syrians of Damascus came to succor Hadadezer, king of Zobah, David slew of the Syrians 22,000 men. Then David put garrisons in Syria of Damascus, and the Syrians became servants to David and brought gifts. And the Lord preserved David whithersoever he went. That's where you get the title, He Preserveth the Way of His Saints. And let me pray for us. Spirit of God, I pray that you would do a work in our midst. Father, my personality is not enough. The personality or the perceptions of these that will hear is not enough. So God, if you will, in a supernatural way, reach down into our hearts and to this service, hinder those things that would distract. And Father, exalt those things that would cause our attention to be given properly to the preaching of the Word of God. Gag and bind Satan that he would not be preeminent in this service, but might thy Spirit control us. God, I don't know why people came to this building today, but I know why you came. You came to be glorified. You came to be uplifted. And so, Father, I would love it if everybody here enjoyed the service. But, Lord, that's only secondary. I pray that at the end of the hour, when I say the final amen, that you look down and say, "That's good. I enjoyed that." Bless us with thy presence, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there, if you will. In that passage, it said, "And the Lord preserved David." I searched further, and a few chapters later, in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse number 23, it says, "Then said David, Ye shall not do so, my brethren, with that which the Lord hath given us. Who hath preserved us?" Twice it is said by David, or about David, that God had preserved David. You see, David was a mighty warrior. He was called upon by God to fight many of God's enemy in his day. In 2 Samuel chapter 8, we see David putting his life on the line, and he does it time and time again to conquer God's enemy. If you were listening, he went to battle with one, and then he went to battle with another group, and then he went to battle with another group. But right at the end of the series of names of the people that David had defeated for God, it said, David said, "God hath preserved me." In verse 1 there, he smote the Philistines. In verse 2, he smote the Moabites. In verse 3, he smote the Hadadezer of Zobah. In verse 4, he smites the Syrians. Can you imagine all the people that were out to get David? I don't know what you think of the President Bush that left the scene when Barack Obama became president. But I'm going to tell you something. How you feel about him or not doesn't matter. You understand that he went after the terrorists in our world, and he'll have to be protected for the rest of his life because that President Bush put his life on the line. And David, though, over and over and over again in the Scriptures, took a stand for the nation of Israel, and believe me, he had a lot of people that were out to get him. And verse number 6 that I read to you a moment ago has got to be reassuring to David. As you see, the background is David's got a lot of people that had reason to be mad at him. And it says in verse 6, "Then David put garrisons in Syria of Damascus, and the Syrians became servants to David and brought gifts, and the Lord preserved David whithersoever he went." And I like it that God didn't just say he preserved David. He said he preserved him whether or whithersoever he went. You say, what does that mean? Wherever David went, God protected David. Wherever David was, God was upon David. Wherever David was, the hand of God was still available to be on David. I got to wondering, what does it mean when it talks about being preserved? In the dictionary, it says it means keeping something alive. It means that something is maintained or protected. You keep it up. It's upheld or it's sustained. The Bible would probably define this preservation as it guarding something that ought to be maintained, to keep it. You know, like in hockey or in soccer, you have a goalie, and his nickname, we call him the keeper. He's the one that keeps that safe. God is the keeper of his saints. God wants to protect and uphold and watch out for his saints, like a watchman on a tower. I know you all think I'm crazy about half the time, and there's the rest of you then that think I'm crazy all the time. But I got to tell you, I was thinking about this thing of preservation, and the very first thing, Brother Edwards, that came to my mind was a Twinkie. A lot of rumors out there about Twinkies. I have here some banana Twinkies. I got to tell you something. So I did what all great men of God do. I Googled the Twinkie. I found this on June 6th of 2016. What may now be, and this is a writing, it says, what may now be the oldest Twinkie in the world started as a chemistry experiment back in 1976 at a small private school in Maine. Now let me explain where I'm going with this. God preserves us. Keep looking right at me. God preserves us. God preserves you. And God preserves me. Now, I can remember times our kids would take Twinkies to their room. And we thought they ate them. But they set them aside for consumption later. You could find those things months later. According to our kids, still edible. There's something about a Twinkie, it goes on forever. Now, the article, what may be the oldest Twinkie in the world, started as a chemistry experiment back in 1976 at a small private school in Maine. A teacher gave his student a few bucks and sent him to the local store. After the students returned with a box of Twinkies, the unusual experiment began. 40 years later, this dusty treat is a testament to the power of preservatives. The Twinkie remains remarkably intact and is still on display inside the glass box. So far, there's no word whether the Smithsonian plans to get its hands on this antique dessert. One said the Twinkie itself may last longer than the cellophane wrapper that it is wrapped in. Now, whether you know it or not, the Twinkie is preserved. I think this, we look back and we find bones of dinosaurs. I think generations to come will look back and find Twinkies. They may think we all look like a Twinkie or something. But that Twinkie lasts. Why? It's preserved. My mom we called it putting up. She'd put up some green beans or put up some tomatoes. She canned it. What did she do? She preserved it. And the promises made by God to you and I that are Christians, that he preserveth the way of his saints. Proverbs 2:8 says, he keepeth the paths of judgment, and he preserveth the way of his saints. Psalm 146:9 says, the Lord preserveth the strangers. The Bible says in Nehemiah 9:6, thou, even thou, art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, and the heaven of heavens, and all their hosts, the earth and all things that are therein, the seas and all that is therein, and thou preserveth them all, and the host of heaven worshipeth thee. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 45, verse 5 and 7, that God promised to preserve Israel. In Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 6, God promises to preserve the things that he created, meaning the heaven and the earth and the seas. And folks, I've got good news for you. God wants to preserve our church. Preacher Croom, God wants to preserve what you handed to us, the old time doctrine in the old time Bible. God wants to preserve that. God wants to preserve our marriages. God wants to preserve our bodies so that we might be used long term. One reason you ought to keep your body healthy, God's trying to preserve that so it can be used in His service. Young people, God wants to preserve your purity. I think this, we have a revival going on at our church. Not every church in the county are you going to walk in and it's packed all the way into adjoining rooms where people can't even see, but they stay and listen and watch. God, there's a revival going on in our church. You know something? I think God wants to preserve that revival. I wasn't sure what I'd call my sermon. I decided to go with He preserveth the way of His saints. I thought about calling God will preserve like the Twinkie is preserved. But that Twinkie is preserved. And we all know about the preservation of the Twinkie. You know, they even phased Twinkies out. They said, we're going to stop making them. But they were so popular, they came back. You know something? They didn't even have to make a new stock of them. They could just pull the ones off the shelf that had been there for 3 years and put them out for sale. You say, why? They're as good today as what they were yesterday. Twinkies are around forever. Hold the Bible up and the Twinkies. God preserves things. But notice who it was that preserved David. Who is it that would make this bold statement, I'll preserve you, David? In 2 Samuel 8:6, it says, the Lord preserved David. Now, that is super reassuring. It's the Lord that promised to preserve us, not man. The God who is the all-powerful one offers preservation to you and I as Christians. The God who is the all-knowing one is the one that offers preservation to you and I. It is the God that is the forever living one that offers preservation to you and I. Hey, it is the everywhere present one. Did you know something? There's no place you can go that God's not there. That means wherever you are, if God made a promise to preserve you, He's got your back. He's got you covered. He's the all-powerful one. It is God that promised to do the preserving. This is the God that's everywhere present, the God that always has been, the God that always will be. This is a God that knows everything. This is a God that has all power. It's not a man that came along and said to you, I can preserve you. It is the God of the universe that said, don't you worry, I've got your back. Don't you worry, I've got you covered. Don't you worry, whatever the problem is, I can handle the problem. It is God that said, I will preserve thee. And I'm sure David said, you know, to hear the words, somebody's promising to preserve me, that's a wonderful thing, and that's a wonderful encouragement. When David found out it was God that said that, David said, boy, that makes me feel so much better. He's the great preserver. He has all that it takes to keep the promise of preservation. In Joshua chapter 24, verse 17, it says, God preserveth us in all the way where we went in. That was to Joshua when Joshua battled at Jericho. And I'm sure Joshua, after he won the battle of Jericho, said, you know what? God just took care of us. He preserved us. But folks, the very same God that helped Joshua with the battle of Jericho is the same God that you serve and that I serve. And that's the same God that said, hey, I got you covered. I will preserve you. In Job chapter 29, verse number 2, Job said, God preserveth me. This is Job. You all do know that Job is the one that went down in history as the great sufferer. He suffered like no man other than Jesus Christ. And it is Job, after he had gone through everything that he went through, lost his whole business, lost his family, lost his wife, lost his health, lost everything. Job said, it is God that preserved me. God turned around and gave Job back twice as much as what he had before. And Job was glad it was God preserving him and not the United States government. Job was glad it was God preserving him, not a man. It was God. It's God that promised to preserve us. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 18. It says, the Lord will preserve me. Timothy said that, and I'll tell you why. The greatest preacher on the face of the earth at that time, after Jesus Christ had died, was a man by the name of the Apostle Paul. But the Apostle Paul had grown old.
And the Apostle Paul had died or was preparing to die. And Timothy was a preacher boy to the Apostle Paul. And Timothy was a little bit scared. His mentor was going to heaven. But God came along and said, Timothy, don't you worry. I am the same God of the Paul that you follow. And I am going to preserve you, Timothy, just like I preserved Paul that you look up to so much. In Jude chapter 1, it is said that, and Jude said, Jesus, we are preserved in Jesus Christ. I'm glad that the one who preserves me is the one who is perfectly preserved. Jesus Christ always has been. Jesus Christ always will be. He had no start. He has no finish. He's not going anywhere. He always has been. And the one that has always been and always will be came along and said to me, I got you covered. I can preserve you. If there's anybody that knows how to preserve, it ain't grandma. It's Jesus. So what helps me is to know who made the promise to preserve. But only that, I got to wondering, from what or how? What's going to be preserved? Well, I've got good news for you. If you're not saved today, He can preserve you from going to hell. He can keep you from going to hell. He can keep you out of hell. Psalm 37:28 says, For the Lord loveth judgment and forsake not His saints, for they are preserved forever. Amen. You get saved, you're saved, and you're preserved forever. You see, the Bible's very clear. And the Bible says He'll not cut you off. The Bible's very clear on something. And if you're new in our church, sometime I'd love to teach you this. The Bible makes it very clear. You ask Jesus to come into your heart and save you, He'll save you, and you're saved from now till the day you get to heaven. It is a for sure thing. You have a security in that promise. In other words, once you get saved, you're saved. Once you get saved. So what's He doing? He said, I can preserve you. Everybody here that asked Jesus to save you, you asked Him to come into your heart and save you. He has now preserved you through salvation for eternity. I will never go to hell. I will never die the second death. Now, my body may die the first time. And the truth is, I don't really want it to even die the first time. I hope Jesus comes back. You say, preacher, are you afraid of death? Yeah, right now I think I am. They say when it's time for you to die, God will give you dying grace. Well, it ain't time for me to die then, because I'm not real interested in dying. But I'll tell you this, when it does come time for me to die, I have been promised preservation by the all-preserved one. I'm going to go to heaven. So He can preserve us in salvation. He gives us salvation, then we go to heaven. Now, let me tell you, if you're not saved today, you ought to get saved and get your soul preserved. You ought to get that cared for. But I love this. Not only did He tell me He would save me and preserve me, He told me He could preserve me from all trouble. In Psalm 32:7, it says, Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from all trouble. Wow, from trouble. He hides me from trouble. He can deliver me from trouble. Did you know there's no trouble that is bigger than our preserver? He preserves the quiet. Hey, and let me tell you something. Whatever you're going through, God can preserve you and get you through it. That doesn't mean that it might not get a little rocky along the way. That doesn't mean you might not get a little thirsty along the way. That does not mean you might not get a little hungry along the way. That does not mean you might not get tossed around a little bit along the way. But I will tell you this, if you'll stick with God, He'll bring you through it. I wonder how many times in life we face something, we think, I'm not going to make it. You made it. You ever felt like, oh, it's so bad. Nobody likes me. Everything hates everybody. You know, everybody hates me. You know, I'll go eat worms. Oh, it's all over. It's over. It's over. It's over. And you wake up the next morning and it's not over. And things start getting better. What happened? God preserved you. and there are adults in this room, you've watched God preserve you over and over and over again when you were overwhelmed and you thought it was too much and you couldn't take any more. I'm not saying it won't be a rocky road. I'm just saying at the end of the road is Jesus. Keep driving. Stay with Him. He is your preserver. He preserves you in heaven. He'll preserve you from the troubles of life. He can preserve you from fear. In Psalm 64:1, it says, "Hear my voice, O God. In my prayer, preserve my life from fear of the enemy." Now, folks, we have an enemy. And just remember this. The enemy's not the other Christians. The enemy, hey, look, in the church, the pastor's not your enemy, and you're not to be the pastor's enemy. We're not to be enemies to each other. Hey, but who's the enemy? The devil is the enemy. The Bible says that he can preserve us from the enemy. Folks, it talks about the fear of the enemy. I want to remind all of you that fear is a paralyzer. Fear paralyzes us. We're fearful of something, and we're afraid to go forward. Don't let your fear paralyze you. You say, why? God said, I am going to preserve you from fear. He's saying, you keep moving. And though you're fearful, you keep heading toward God. You keep doing what God wants you to do. And even though you're scared, he said, I'll preserve you. I'll get you through that. Fear tries to steal from us. Our fears rarely become reality. You know, you stay up all night and you fret and you fret and you fret and you think, oh no, tomorrow's the day. It's all going to fall. Tomorrow is going to be so devastating. Tomorrow, it's all over. And you know something? That fear lies to us and psychs us out and tries to paralyze us and tries to scare us back in our hole. God said, you keep going forward. I will preserve you. I'll help you. I'll preserve you through your fears. So he said, I'm going to preserve you. Who? God. We're not talking about man. We're talking about God said, I'll preserve you. I can preserve you so you don't have to go to hell. I can preserve you and get you through your trouble. I can preserve you and get you through your fear. I can get you through evil. Psalm 121, verse 7 says, the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. Now, evil is an attack upon you. That's when people are out to hurt you. That's when maybe people accuse you of something. Maybe it's a false accusation. Maybe it's hurtful gossip. Maybe people you work with are trying to damage your testimony, or somebody that you've tried to help. Maybe somebody in your own family has hurt you and launched an attack on you and wants to destroy you or wants to hurt you. God said, I can preserve you through evil. There's a bit of a difference between sin and evil. Sin is when what we do that hurts us. Evil is when we're hurting other people. And they're different. And we shouldn't be evil in life. But there's evil out there. There is evil out there. And God said, I can preserve you. When evil is coming at you, he said, I can preserve you through that evil. And remember something. This isn't man that makes a promise. This is God that makes the promise. Psalm 121, verse 7, it said, the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. That was a psalm that was sung by the Jews as they traveled. Why? They went as they traveled through the land, evil people would come upon them, and they knew that they needed to be preserved if evil people tried to hurt them. So they sang and reminded themselves, I don't have to worry. God is my preserver. You know something? If Hostess can preserve a Twinkie, don't you think God can preserve you? Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. He said he would preserve you. He said he would. He said he would preserve you from hell. He said he would preserve you from trouble. He said he would preserve you from fear. He said he would preserve you from evil. And he will. Now, who in the world does God promise this preservation too? Well, the saved. So Psalm 97:10 says, ye that love the Lord hate evil, he preserveth the soul of his saints. Now, so you all understand, the saints are the saved. It's not a marching band. Oh, when those saints come marching in. It's not a football team. The saints are the born-again Christian. And we're not talking about religious people. We're talking about people that one day realized they were a sinner. There was a penalty for sin. and that Jesus paid that penalty with his death, burial, and resurrection. And somebody asked Jesus to save them from their sin, and he did save them. Now, that's salvation. You say, well, I'm a member of the church. I'm glad, but you can have your name on every church roll in this county and still die and go to hell. You say, well, I got baptized. You can get baptized in every lake, pond, and puddle, and know every tadpole by its first name. But if you've never been born again, you won't go to heaven. You say, I do good deeds. I hope you help every old lady in New Bern across the street with her basket and her knee-high nylons down to her ankles. I hope you will help them all. I hope you do good deeds from sun up to sundown. But every good deed you do will not get you to heaven. It is salvation. Then we do good deeds because we love God. But the saints are preserved. If you're not saved, I'm sorry. If you're not saved, preservation is not promised to you. It is to the saints. Not only is it to the saints, it's to those that trust him. The level of preservation is wonderful. If you're saved, God said, now trust me and I'll preserve you. Psalm 86:2 says, preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou, my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. That verse said, God said, now you're going to have to trust me if you want me to preserve you. You're going to have to trust me if you want me to preserve you. Look, if the church building caught on fire, I promised Brother Edwards, I said, Brother Edwards, don't you worry. I'll save you. I'll take care of you. I got your back. I'll preserve you. Well, the church is on fire. Everybody's out but Chris Edwards. I'm yelling in the building, Chris, where you at? Where you at? Sure enough, he's on the second story. He said, preacher, I can't get down. I said, okay, Chris, I see you in the window. Jump to me and I'll catch you. This may be a bad illustration. If I say, brother, jump to me, I'm making available preservation. But if he won't trust me, he may mess it up. It won't be me that messed it up. He'll mess it up. And I'll tell you, many a fireman has gone to a place that's on fire, and somebody in the second story needed to jump to the fireman. The ones that did got preserved, and the ones that didn't, they messed up. They messed up. And I'm not a good example of the one that would catch him, but I will promise you this, Brother Edwards. If the building caught on fire and you were on the second story and there was no way out and Jesus was out here on the side of this building and said, Chris, jump to me. Brother, don't think twice. Jump into his arms. He is trustworthy. He has never dropped one. He's never fumbled one. He will take care of you. But it is to those who trust the one that is a great preserver. He preserves the saved. He preserves those that trust him. The Bible teaches that he preserves the faithful. Psalm 31:23 says, oh, love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful. Folks, I have to tell you something. Your faithfulness affects your preservation. It does. You say, what do you mean? Well, being faithful to church will preserve you. I believe God will preserve. Do you understand that if somebody's out there driving around doing their shopping today, they're in more danger than you are? People don't come to church. You know, your house is more apt to blow up than somebody else's. Well, and I guess if mine did, it wouldn't matter, would it? Well, my wife's clothes would get burned up. But other than that, well, that's probably worth $1 million right there. Oh, now I think of it. But the truth is, if my house blew up at church time, we'd be all right. Would you? He preserveth the faithful. You know, today, somebody's going to get a hold of this truth and they're going to say, you know what? I believe God preserves the faithful. But the ones that will get a hold of it, capitalize on it, enjoy it, see it, live it, watch it come to fruition are the ones that came to hear about it. Somebody that stayed home needs to hear that he's a great preserver and how to get that preservation in their life, but they were not faithful. So they missed the preservation that was made available through the teaching of the Word of God. You want your young people to stay pure. You don't want your kids to mess up on drugs and alcohol, go out and get pregnant out of wedlock. Well, you better get them into a church that will tell them not to do that. God has a way of preserving the family, but you got to get somewhere where that is being taught from the book. God is a preserver of the faithful. Hey, I love this. I'm so glad God's my God. Man, if beer belly Buddha were a real God, I wouldn't want to serve him anywhere. My God's the right God, no doubt about it. Listen, he preserves the simple. Psalm 116:6 says, "The Lord preserveth the simple." The simple. You say, who's the simple? That's the new Christian. That's the unknowing one. You know, I think God, He's careful. You know, let's take somebody that's not real well-trained in the Christian life. God has a way of watching out for those. Thank God. You take a child. There are children. There are some things they just don't know. Isn't it a wonderful thing how God kind of watches out for them? You know how many kids could be destroyed by doing some of the dumb things that they do? I mean, you got a screwdriver and you're walking around and there's an outlet. And if you're two, you're thinking, look! Standard screwdriver, standard hole in the outlet. These two devices go together. I wonder how many times God has protected we little simple ones. Wait a minute. God protects those that are physically simple, but I promise you, God protects those that are spiritually simple. It says, I will preserve the simple. Those of you that are newer Christians, God wants to watch out for you. Hey, some of you that are older Christians, you see some younger Christian, and they're doing something stupid, and you want to get all judgmental and get all huffy and puffy about it. Let me tell you something. Those that are doing wrong, and they don't even know it's wrong, they've never even heard the preaching, they've never even been taught, and they're doing wrong. I'm going to guarantee you, God had a certain patience with the simple-minded because he wants them to grow. You say, but what about me? You know better. There's some of you, you know better than to do what you're doing, and you're doing it anyway. God is not promising preservation to the rebellious. He is saying, if you're simple and you don't know, he said, I then can cover you. He covers the faithful. He covers the simple. He's there to preserve them. Hey, I like this, and some of you are going to like this. I like it all. Did you notice that, Brother Edwards? I like it all. Hey, the ones that consider the poor, God wants to preserve them. In Psalm 41, verse 1 and 2, it says, blessed is he that considereth the poor. O Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him. Let me tell you something. God loves the poor. God wants them to get saved. God wants to change their lives. And too many churches are turning their back on the poor. I'll say to everybody under the sound of my voice, I don't care how much money you have, you're no more important than the poorest member of this church. Your money will never cost. Hey, you'll never have clout with me if I'm in my right mind just because you have money. Everybody needs to be faithful to the same God and do the same things and love God the same way. But I'll say to the poor here, you are welcome here. If you are poor in body, if you are poor financially, if you are a poor person, you are welcome here. I never want to pastor a snooty church. I never want to pastor a church where everybody's got their nose in the air and the women have their glasses on a stick. Always bothers me when they've got glasses on a stick. And sure enough, there's somebody in here right now and their purse have glasses on a stick and they think I'm being mean to them. I'm not. Just get rid of the stick. But God said, I will preserve those that have a heart for the poor. God loves the poor. He'll preserve the lover of the poor. Hey, God said, I'll preserve those that love him. Psalm 145, verse 20, the Bible says, the Lord preserveth all them that love him. I have a question for you today. There are a lot of people in here. There are a lot of saved people, handful of religious people. I have a question for you. You love God? What you say to the people around you here, you doesn't really matter to me. Do you really love God? And so you know, love is a verb. You say, oh, I just love God and hug him all the time. No, you don't. You love God, you're doing something for him. The Bible teaches if you love me, keep my commandments. Love is a verb. Love, we get all caught up in love and the emotion of love. Love is action. Love is movement. Love has guts. Love has backbone. Love, it's something that you do. It's something that you become. What are you becoming for God? What do you do for God? So I come to church. So what? You all love it when I do this. People come to church, sit down, suck up the air condition, let somebody preach to them, sing to them. They say, I'm just serving God. No, you're sitting there listening. You love God. You put that statement, put the energy of your life where your statement is. Couldn't figure out a better way to word that, really, especially you don't put your money where your mouth is, but I was trying to figure it all out in my mind. A lot goes on in this mind while I'm trying to say those sort of things. God said, I'll preserve you if you love me. Question. If God were going to kill everybody in this room right now, and the only ones that were going to get out of the room were people that had proven to him they love him dearly this week, Lord, how many of you be dead by the end of the day? He said, I'll preserve those that love me. He wants to preserve us. He can preserve our soul, according to Psalm 97:10. He can preserve our spirit. You say, what's that? That's your attitude. He can preserve our life. Hey, I also love the fact that he promised he would preserve his word. I wish I had time. Every one of these is a point in my outline, but Brother Edward's song service was so long, I don't have time for my whole sermon. But lucky God preserves you, buddy. I do have Jordan as a backup. Amen, Jordan. By way of testimony, if I may, I have had the devil come after me full force in my lifetime. And I just want to thank God that God is a preserver. I would not be standing before you today if God were not the great preserver. Two groups of people today, and I'm finished. First of all, if you're not saved, I apologize to you. The sermon doesn't apply to you because he preserveth the saved. But you can get saved. And it's available to you, and he wants you to have it. Secondly, to the saint, stop and thank God for his preservation in your life. But secondly, he makes it available, but so many times we're not around to absorb it. We're not a part of it. We don't do our part. But thank God. If Hostess can preserve the Twinkie, God can preserve us. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed. My soldiers, I need you to be ready in case you're needed. My altar workers, the first question is this. If you died today, are you sure you'd go to heaven? Are you born again? Are you saved? Is there anybody under the sound of my voice that would say, Pastor, I'm not saved. If I died today, I don't know that I'd go to heaven. I want to go to heaven. I want to be saved. But I'm being honest. I'm sitting right here in church. I don't know if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Pray for me, Pastor, that I'd be saved. Would you raise your hand? Let me see your hand. Good. I see that hand. Somebody else, just say, I'm not sure that if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Okay. Those of you that have raised your hand, in a minute we're going to have an altar call. It won't take long. But if you're not sure if you died today, you'd go to heaven. You come forward and we will have people that have their Bibles ready. They know exactly what to show you in the Bible so you can ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior. You come, we'll show you how to be saved. It's called an old-fashioned altar call. All churches used to have them. God will preserve the ones that keep having them. I'll guarantee it. Now, Christian, God is a great preserver. But there's some faithfulness, there's some obedience, there's some pretty important things that go along with that. He can preserve you from trouble, from fear, from evil. He'll preserve you, but you got to trust him, you got to be faithful. He'll preserve the simple ones. Those that consider the poor, every businessman ought to have in his portfolio a way to watch out for the poor because God will preserve your business. Those that love him. How many Christians here would say, Brother Owens, God has spoken to my heart. There's some things about the preservation of God. There's some things I ought to be doing to capitalize on the preservation that is made available by a perfect God. There's some things in my life that ought to change in regard to the preservation that I want from my God. And He has spoken to my heart as you deliver the sermon today. Christian, would you raise your hand and let God see it? Say, there's some things that I need to work on. There's some things I need to do. If I want the things around me preserved, God bless you. You may put those hands down. Moms and dads, you ought to want preservation for your kids and preservation for your family and preservation for your marriage. God said you're going to have to learn to be faithful. You're going to have to learn to get into the book. You're going to have to find a church that will teach the Bible the way it ought to be taught. We're going to have an altar call. I'll ask our young people that made decisions for youth conference, why don't you make those decisions public tonight? You just make your decisions public tonight. But if you need this altar, if you're not saved, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. If you are saved and you need to work on some things in your life in regard to this thing of preservation, remember, God does His part. The problem is we're not there to capitalize. We're not doing our part to receive that preservation. You're on the second story window, and God said, I'm giving you some instructions, but if you don't listen to Him, you may blow it in the house. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need this altar, you come. Everybody's standing. The service is not over with yet. If you need to come down here and pray for a minute, you come down here and pray. Maybe you need to come and say, God, there's some things that ought to be in my life and they're not. And because of it, I may be jeopardizing some of that preservation that's made available. Do you need the altar? There's some marriage out there. You say, we need preservation. Our marriage needs it. We want our marriage to last. We want our marriage to be protected. We want our marriage to be long-term. Well, you better get under the sound of the Word of God. You better get into the right kind of a church. And I might advise this. Don't try to find a church that'll pat you on the head, rub your belly, and make you feel good all the time. Find a pastor that'll tell you the truth. Now, I love you, and you'll find out I love you, but I'll preach the Word of God to you, and I'll help you. There are people in here that need to thank God for His preservation. Wonder how many of us could have died this week, but God preserved us. God protected us. One of our men, not a long, long time ago, had an accident at work. He could have been killed. God preserved him. It was remarkable that God watched out for him. He is the great preserver. The Bible says, and the Lord preserved David whithersoever he went. And I've been silly, but if Hostess can preserve the Twinkie, and we've got one that's going on for 40 years, and they think she's still alive and well, don't you think God could preserve you? He'll get you through your trouble. He'll get you through your fear. If you're saved, He's going to get you to heaven. One more time through the song, please. If you're not saved, you come. Let us take a Bible and show you how to be saved. If you need the altar, you come. He preserveth the saints. Now, not the lost. And to lost people, I feel bad for you about that. If you're not saved, I feel bad for you. I want you to have that preservation. I want you to have that security. I want you to have that assurance. But you have to get saved to get it. And you won't get saved the Baptist way or the Catholic way or the Methodist way. You'll get saved the Bible way. And that's through Jesus Christ. Realizing you're a sinner, there's a penalty for sin and that Jesus paid it. And that if you'll ask Him to come into your heart and save you, He will save you.